This is Jordan Secchio. Today on Jay Secchio Live, the radical left using COVID-19 crisis to call for the abolishment of families. We'll talk about that and more news on COVID-19 today on Jay Secchio Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Secchio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
So, folks, we're going to continue to update you as well on the House when they plan. Let me go right to Than Bennett, actually. So, Than, the Senate passed 96-0, the COVID-19 stimulus bill. The House expected to vote today. They wanted to do it by voice vote. There is a kind of rogue Republican that may be holding that up, Thomas Massey, who kind of leans libertarian, and they're trying to work through that to get a quorum there so that even if he tries to do that, they can get this passed today. What's the word on Capitol Hill today? I'm hearing the news from the vote counters that they believe they'll have a quorum by today and that it can get this passed into the president's desk.
Yeah, I think that's right, Jordan. And I think the first thing that's important to say is the outcome of this bill is not really in question. It's just the timing of it, as you said. The House came into session at 9 a.m. Eastern time today, planning to debate for 3 hours. So really, right about now, as we go live, noon Eastern time, Jordan, they were going to have a planned voice vote at this point. But you're right. Congressman Thomas Massey from Kentucky, there was some indication that he was not going to allow a voice vote. Jordan, when this happens, any member of the chamber can ask for a recorded vote. But if a quorum is not present, which is a majority of the House, which right now would be 216 members, they could block that vote from proceeding. And there was an indication that he was going to do that. So, Jordan, members are coming back at least to that level to make it happen. But you're right. The question is, at what point during the day will they reach that 216 level? We don't know the answer to that. And, Jordan, I would just quickly say that's sort of the worst case scenario, it looks like, at this point. There's still a possibility that when this voice vote request happens here momentarily, maybe Thomas Massey won't actually insist that a quorum actually be present in the chamber.
All right. So we expect, again, that this will go through. We will continue to explain for you what is in the legislation as of now. Right now, then, are we expecting the House to just vote on what the Senate passed with no extra amendments, no changes?
Yes, yes. They've been debating it for 3 hours. There are no amendments offered or debated or voted on. The vote will be on the Senate passed package. So, Jordan, again, I really do think that this is going to the president for his signature today. It's just a matter of when this afternoon.
And Nancy Pelosi did not get her new Green Deal. She didn't get her Planned Parenthood abortion funding. She didn't get the diversified boards and the alternative energy. Yes, there were some compromises made. It's not perfect because it's bipartisan. But the American people need this. The economy needs it. The workers need it. Individuals need it. Small businesses need it. Churches are included in this as well. And I'd say that Nancy Pelosi, who tried to politicize this, got caught and is the big loser in all of this.
I totally, totally agree, Jordan. The bills that she put forward, which packed in a whole bunch of spending priorities, like you said, New Green Deal, a whole bunch of her other priorities, basically cut and paste from other bills. Jordan, all of those came out. Now, of course, in a $2 trillion bill, there's going to be some things that conservatives don't like. Big spending bills always have those. But time was of the essence. Here's what I would tell you, Jordan. The only thing that Speaker Pelosi accomplished through all this was the last few days of delay that we saw. We probably would have had a slightly cleaner bill. We definitely would have had a much quicker bill had Speaker Pelosi not engaged, but she did not win on policy items here.
Folks, Facebook had a little bit, if you're again on Facebook and Periscope, had a little bit of a glitch, so make sure to check that out now. We fixed that. That's again, you can share on Facebook and Periscope and give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You will not believe this. This is coming from Open Democracy, a George Soros funded organization, international organization. And the headline is, the coronavirus crisis shows us it's time to abolish the family. At a time when most of us are spending time together as a family, they see it as a time to abolish the family as we know it. We'll go through this shocking report on where the left would really like to take the world, including the United States of America. We come back on Jay Secchio Live and answer your questions. 1-800-684-3110. Remember our matching challenge. Donate online. That's the best way to get the funds to us directly so we can continue to do this work, tracking this legislation, which will keep coming. ACLJ.org, matching challenge. Donate today. We appreciate your support.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
There was a little glitch, too. For those of you on Facebook and Periscope who are viewing the broadcast that way, more and more people, because of the quarantines that are in place, the stay-at-home orders that are in place, or watch that at home, there was a glitch at the beginning of the broadcast. The numbers are already rising. But I really encourage you to click share right now on Facebook or Periscope. Click that share button, because people may have initially gotten the notification and there was a video glitch. We're back now live with Facebook and Periscope. Of course, we're broadcasting on over 1,000 radio stations as well, and Sirius XM. But because people are at home, it's a new way that they can maybe see the broadcast they usually aren't able to do because they are at work or at other places. So that's to be able to see us in the studio. So again, click that share button. I really appreciate it if you would do that right now on Facebook and on Periscope. Click share now. It's right there. Very easy to do, to share it with your friends and family. Let me just get to this story, and we're going to keep updating you as well on if you got questions about what's in this stimulus legislation. We can answer most of those for you now. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We expect a vote in the House sometime later today, so long as there is a quorum and this rogue Republican member, Thomas Massie, doesn't mess this up for everyone. Is it perfect legislation? No. But it's a big difference between the bailout in 2008, because this was not something created by bad mortgage lending by businesses. This is a crisis created by a virus. And so it is not like a bailout in that sense that we've seen before. That's why I think you're seeing bipartisan support when it comes down to actual COVID-19 responses and the economic responses, which are an important part of this legislation. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. At the same time, though, the left cannot help itself from trying to seize on this moment. I'd love your comments on this as well. Open Democracy is a George Soros-funded international organization. They put up this this piece a couple days ago, and I just think it's so disgusting. But it's also just tells you how these liberal groups are trying to seize on these moments of crisis that's happening around the world. So the headline is, the coronavirus crisis shows us it's time to abolish the family. What does the pandemic tell us about the nuclear family and private household? It goes on to say that nuclear households, it seems, are where we are all intuitively expected to retreat in order to prevent widespread ill health. Quote, staying home is what is somehow self-evidently supposed to keep us well. But there are several problems with this, as anyone inclined to think about it critically, even for a moment, might figure out. problems what one might summarize as the mystification of the couple form, the romanticization of kinship, and the sanitation of the fundamentally unsafe space that is private property. Do you understand they are calling for the abolishment of private property? How can a zone defined by power asymmetrics of housework, reproductive labor being so gendered, which, by the way, is less and less these days. I don't know. Again, it's like they're relying on the 1950s when we're all living in 2020 at a time when people, you know, men and women are sharing those duties more and more, of renting and mortgage debt, which has been part of, again, the American dream of owning a home, land and deed ownership, of patriarchal parenting, and often the, of course, what they don't like, the institution of marriage. How does that benefit health? Literally, these are the words they're using. But it goes on. This is what they recommend for Los Angeles. Think about this for a moment. If you live in LA area, we got a lot of listeners in Southern California, but anywhere across the country. In LA, state officials are providing individual trailers and pop-up isolation cabins for the homeless. But a far more logical response might be open all the hotels and private palaces. That means homes. They use the word palaces. That means your private home. Okay? On the basis of airy and light-filled sanitary housing for all. Get this one. Free all prisoners and detainees now. Remake the care facilities as spacious, self-led villages. Dismiss all the workers with full pay so they can leave their bunks forever, move in with their friends, and pursue laziness for at least the next decade. The next decade. Now, this is not the end. This is not the end. The private nuclear household genders, nationalizes, and races us. It norms us for productive work. It makes us believe we are individuals. Okay, Karl Marx. Again, it's bad to be individuals. It minimizes costs for capital while maximizing human beings' life-making labor. It blackmails us into mistaking the only source of love and care we have for the extent of what is possible. Get this one. This is how it kind of closes. We deserve better than the family, and the time of Corona is an excellent time to practice abolishing it. I think we live, folks, in the exact opposite time. That mindset is so dangerous. But let me kind of give you, again, a little bit of hope, because the Christian community has gone through this before. Religious communities have faced times of plagues and persecution, and they have come together as a family, as a unit. And they have, again, it's not that they are, that God protects them from all that is wrong. But take a listen. This is a Reverend Lee Spruill of St. George's Episcopal Church in Nashville. I know Rector and the Reverend Spruill very well. And Lee, I think, had an important message. These are part of these noonday prayers that they're doing, and we're sharing on our Secular Community Facebook page. Take a listen to this, Bite 2.
The coronavirus has returned the church to normality. The coronavirus has returned the church to normality. What did he mean by that? What he meant, as he explained, was that through the vast majority of Christian history, epidemics and plagues, seasons of unexpected social or cultural upheaval were actually normative. But we've been living in this modern era for, you know, 100, 150 years, where things like disease, pestilence, plague were more the exception than the rule. And so thanks be to God for all kinds of medical advancements that help us combat and eradicate so many diseases.
And listen to this important example from a Reverend Spruill about the church in Alexandria. This was in the year 250. Dealing with something similar,
among others, was how the church in Alexandria, Egypt, in the year 250 responded to an epidemic that swept through the Roman Empire. We believe it was measles and killed almost undoubtedly millions of people. And the bishop of Alexandria, Dionysius, wrote about this experience. And he shared that Christians not only cared for one another, but they cared for non-Christians. And so many of the very best leaders of the church, presbyters, deacons as well as lay leaders died in their care for one another, and they died in their care for those outside the church. And what actually happened was, despite those severe losses to the church, at the end of the epidemic, Christianity was in a stronger position and actually grew as a result, precisely because of the way Christians loved one another and the way Christians loved the world.
It's such, to me, Than, this is the direct response back, repudiation of this idea that the family must be abolished at a time when we're relying on our families more and more than ever before. And yet the liberal George Soros-backed group says, let's use this moment to abolish the family as we know it.
Jordan, the call to abolish the family is just so tragically sad. I mean, look, my view is that we were specifically and literally created for these relationships, you know, first and foremost for a relationship with the Creator. And then, of course, secondarily for these relationships with those we are blessed to call family, whether it's your spouse or your children, your nuclear family. It makes me sad more than anything, Jordan, that someone would hold to this view, because it is those bonds that make this life worth something beyond ourselves. I mean, without those, Jordan, our purpose on this earth is just so catastrophically small. But with them, with that relationship with our Creator, with those relationships with family, our purpose in this life really knows no bounds. But I'm glad you played those clips from the sermon, because, Jordan, I really do believe in the depths of me that it is times like these that open our eyes for greater clarity to what is truly valuable. It's our faith, it's our family, it's the relationships with those around us. And so while to preserve those relationships right now, we have to take a physical step back and create some physical space, Jordan, it is those relationships that we are looking to preserve, and they are the things that make our life valuable in the first place. So the call to abolish them, I would tell you, is 180% opposite of the purpose for which we were created.
When we come back, Reverend Sproul, he ends with a message about dealing with fear at these certain times. And I think it contrasts with this idea that we should let all prisoners out, free all the prisoners, free all the workers, free all, you know, open everybody's home up to anybody, instead of utilizing the family as the source to get through this crisis. And the family, too, can be in a broader sense, too, the church family as well, and your religious community as well, but at a time when we need to stay at home, as the phrase goes and the hashtag goes. You know, it's important, again, to have these reminders of hope and to fight back against these evils of trying to abolish the family. Watching all of this, folks, at ACLJ. Support the work that we do, aclj.org. Doubly impact your donation, and donate online if you want.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
we get into the specifics, let me, the numbers have been climbing on Facebook and Periscope has restarted that. I know a lot more people are also at home and able to join us that way. So again, I'd ask one more time for those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family right now, because we're about to start answering as many questions about what's in this stimulus legislation that's expected to pass the House today, get to the president's desk, and again, it will pass in the form we believe that the Senate, so we've got all the information now. Now it's 800 pages, and it's going to impact everyone a little bit differently. There are some broad provisions, and there are some more provisions that are based on, you know, applying for loans that turn into grants for your small business. But we can answer a lot of questions for people, at least get them on the right track. But I wanted to play this final message on the idea of fear, because I think that this is a big part of all of this. It's a big thing with the financial markets, a big part of the economy. And I think a lot of people are dealing with this. I mean, who is not, to some extent, dealing with the fear, whether or not you're in a safe financial position, a fear of this unknown virus that can kill, that can grow, when we don't know when normal life will return or what normal life will actually look like. And schools are basically closed across the country, and doesn't look like most of those will be returning to normal school. We don't know if we'll have the normal kind of summer that we're used to in the United States of America, where children can play with other children and their friends and gather together in groups. And Easter services will likely across the country not be taking place in person. A lot of churches, as we post on ACLJ.org, a great article about how churches are utilizing technology. I know my church is as well. But this message on fear, to kind of sum up and contrast this with this just horrendous liberal left-wing idea of abolishing the family unit as we know it, you know, and just returning to this form of individualism and abolishing that. Listen to what the Bible teaches us through, again, a Reverend Sproul. This is from, he's from the rector at St. George's Episcopal Church in Nashville. They're doing noonday prayers every day. We've been sharing those on the Secular Community page as well. This came from one of those this week. Listen to bite number 6 on fear.
The fundamental learning for Christians and the people of God going all the way back to the Old Testament is that in the midst of calamity, in the midst of disease, in the midst of death and suffering, we belong to God. And so I was struck in returning us to Psalm 91 that it says in verse 5 and 6, "You shall not be afraid of any terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, of the plague that stalks in the darkness." What I note here is it does not say you shall be freed from any terror or arrow or the plague that stalks in the darkness, but that we will be freed from fear of those things.
Freed from fear of those things, not freed from any terror or arrow or the plague. I mean, think about how timely that is. The plague that stalks in darkness. We can't see the coronavirus. You know, it's something, it's invisible war that we're fighting, but that we will be freed from fear. We can be freed from fear of those things. It doesn't mean, again, that there won't be those arrows, that there won't be the plague, that we don't need to use our minds and logic and reason to battle it, to do what's right and smart, but that you can be freed of fear. And I think as this goes on, that's going to be very important. Than, I mean, I know you write a lot about faith and your faith too. This to me, before we get into these specifics, is so important, because I think fear drives a lot of the issues here. Some of it is rational, by the way. Not all fear is irrational. Some fear is very rational. I know one of my friends, his wife is an OBGYN. She's going into a hospital every single day. So he's working from home. He's taking care of the children. So this idea, when I read this article from Open Democracy, and I say, oh, it's the nuclear family and the patriarchy. Here I was just talking to my buddy who is, he's taking care of the children at home because he can work from home, but they're having to fully self-quarantine because his wife, the mother of the children at home that he's taking care of, has got to go into a hospital every day. There's rational fear there, but also that's just to me, it says, this is why families are so important. because they can come together these times and make things work. It might not be perfect, but they make it work.
Yeah, and I would just almost guarantee you, Jordan, that your friend would tell you that it is those relationships with his family, this time where he's got to focus on his children, that actually make living through this time and thriving through this time so important. I loved the clips that you played, Jordan, because the hope that we have is not one that is rooted in this physical body. And I mean, I think that's what's so missed in this article here. And the passage of Scripture, I love the one you played, but the one that always speaks to me in a moment like this comes out of Isaiah 43, where God tells Isaiah why we were created. He says, the people that I formed for myself. Jordan, the reason that we're here is something so much larger than just ourselves. That's why we don't have to fear. Yes, there are going to be threats to our physical body. And, you know, none of us is going to escape the physical death at some point. We would hope to push that off beyond. But the fact that that does not have to be the end for us is why we don't have to fear moments like this. So I love the clip that you played. And I think it's important as we do kind of recenter where our priorities are to remember why we were created. We weren't created just for ourselves. We were created for the Creator.
And people are asking, where is this idea of abolishing the family coming from? Major international organizations are seizing on this COVID-19 moment. These are George Soros-backed, Ford Foundation-backed organizations. Big organizations with hundreds of millions of dollars in resources putting out the information to abolish the family. So we wanted to contrast that today. And they're doing it in light of COVID-19. They're saying, hey, in L.A., release everyone. No more private property. I mean, that's full on. That's not even, it's like total communism, communal living in this world where we're told right now to stop the spread of the virus, we need to do the opposite. That's why I wanted to kind of counteract that today. And again, you get a New York Times editorial saying, make abortion more available during the pandemic, not less. There is evil. There is wrong and right in these moments. And that's why we're working around the clock in the ACLJ to make sure whatever legislation's moving through, whatever's happening on Capitol Hill, whatever legislation the president is signing, it excludes as much of those evil forces as possible. And I think in this stimulus, though, again, it's a lot. It's big. I know people have concerns, 800 pages. They may not like everything in it. Than we were successful in getting the worst of the worst out.
Absolutely. I don't like everything in it either, Jordan. You're never going to in a moment of crisis where you have to essentially print $2 trillion. But look, the worst of the worst, all of which was added in Speaker Pelosi's bills, they came out. And I think here's the main thing, Jordan. This is pretty much exclusively about the coronavirus threat, not 100%. There are some provisions I would point to that are unrelated. But here's what I would tell you. Those bills that we went through last week that came out of Speaker Pelosi's office, those were mostly about things not related to this virus, Jordan. On virtually all of those provisions, we won. And I will tell you this, on all of the life provisions, to your last point, those all came out. This is not going to be an opportunity for Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry to get billions of dollars.
No abortion slush fund, no new Green Deal, no mandated corporate board diversity, no airline carbon emissions requirement, like they could survive that right now. None of it. Okay, this is for the American people, for small businesses. So we've been working around the clock to make sure and ensure that. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation. ACLJ.org. Donate today and donate online if you can. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, folks, let me encourage you, if you are watching on Facebook and Periscope, continue to click share. We had a little glitch early in the broadcast. So I encourage you to click share now if you're watching on Facebook or Periscope. Share this with your friends and family. We're going to start getting into the specific questions people have about what's in this stimulus. It's expected to pass the House today, at least by this weekend. It'll get to the president's desk and should go into effect, you know, as soon as possible. So we're trying to answer people's questions at 1-800-684-3110. Leader McCarthy just told the press that he thinks they will be able to demonstrate a quorum to Massey and still use a voice vote today. So that means that this could happen very quickly. The president could sign it as early as, you know, this evening or even tomorrow and get this moving to the American people. Let's take your calls. Michelle in California on line 6. This is one we can answer pretty quickly and easily. Michelle, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate all that you guys are doing.
Thanks, Michelle.
My question is, if the current bill still includes language regarding a digital dollar or digital currency. I know that Nancy Pelosi had language inserted that would include digital currency or coronavirus relief money being sent through digital currency to people's accounts. And I understand that that was taken out, but there was also language from Representative Maxine Waters, and I wanted to know if that was also taken out of the bill that will be voted on Friday.
So what we believe, we've been doing the research on this right now, is that that has been taken out then. So that was another one of those Pelosi moves and Maxine Waters moves that did not make it into the final stimulus.
I'm impressed with Michelle's attention to detail there. Yes, this was a bill put forward by Maxine Waters. Nancy Pelosi cut and pasted it into one of her versions. Jordan, just very simply, it would have forced banks and financial institutions who took these loans to create a digital currency balance for purposes of these loans. We don't have to get into all the details. Here's the bottom line. It is not in this version. It has been taken out of this version. It will not go through. And Jordan, you can have a debate on when and if financial institutions should convert to some of this. This is not the time for that debate. It was appropriately pulled out.
That was what was so upsetting to me throughout this entire process, is that the Senate was doing the right thing, bipartisan actually, focusing it on relief for COVID-19. That was the sole focus. But Nancy Pelosi had her wish list that she tried to get through, and they were not able to get through. Let's take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110. If you're on Facebook, Periscope, continue to share this with your friends and family, because we're answering questions a lot of people have about what's in this stimulus, which should be to the president's desk later on today and signed into law and start being put into action. Let's go to, let's talk about Janelle in Nevada, line 4. Janelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate all you guys do.
Thank you.
Here's my question. President Trump talks about the federal insurance, unemployment insurance, and that you'll get 100% of your pay. But in Nevada, they have their own unemployment thing. So when you file in Nevada, you're only getting 40% of your pay. How do we file for the federal?
So they will set up that system, Than. It will be clear to the American people. There will be websites created, online places to be created, so you can easily file for what has been allocated, which is $250 billion to extend unemployment insurance and lengthen duration to 39 weeks, up from the normal 26 weeks, plus 600 extra a week would be provided for 4 months as well. So, I mean, this is all going to be made easier. This is the legislation. Then they take the legislation and they make it into something that people can utilize, like online through online tools. So you'll be able to access this, Janelle, right, Than?
Exactly correct. And Jordan, the important thing here is it's all on top of the state benefits that she's already talking about. You extend it from 26 to 39 weeks, and then you add on top of that, Jordan, the $600 per week that you were talking about. So she doesn't need to worry about it. It's all on top of the state benefits.
Yeah, so again, this is your federal side, Janelle. So again, and for everybody out there, if you get state unemployment, you will still be eligible for this federal unemployment as well, and it'll be made clear about how to access it. Listen, we're able to do all this and be able to bring all this to you because of your continued support for the ACLJ in a tough time for the country and a time with a lot of questions. Go to aclj.org, donate today.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
All right, folks, we're going to start continue to answer people's questions. We got a lot of questions coming in about this. We've been pouring through it. We've got a whole team members, not just me and Than, pouring through this whole team across the country of lawyers, experts, legislative experts, policy experts who have been pouring through this 800-page stimulus bill, which is how it impacts you and your small business. And again, in all the different situations our listeners may find themselves in, so that we can answer these questions for you, because this will pass, as Ted Cruz has said and others, depending on, if there's some kind of move in the House, it may take later, longer today, but it will pass. It will get to the president's desk by the weekend, and this will go into effect. So we can start answering your questions about it now. Renee in North Carolina on line one. Renee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yesterday on your show, it sounded like you guys were saying that very clearly people in lower income levels, people on disability, Social Security, were definitely going to receive this. Then earlier this morning on a different news report, I heard someone say that people in those categories would have to go through an application process to receive it.
All right, so Thayer, let's get some clarification on that as well for people, because they are eligible. Do they have to go through a different application process?
There is the potential for that, Jordan, but there's a very a reasonable reason why. The IRS already has the information for people who are filers. So if you're not a filer or they don't have your information through the Social Security system or maybe disability, that is actually plugging a gap there. So we don't know exactly what that will look like. But, Jordan, that's a good thing. They're trying to make sure that someone they don't already have information on still has a way to get their information in to get the check. We'll have guidance on that pretty shortly.
So, Renee, so understand what we're saying there is that they need your information to get your check. So you will need to probably let them know who you are and your situation, because if you are to the point where you're not paying any taxes or you are just living off of disability, the IRS may not know exactly who you are. And again, millions of people we're talking about. So you need to notify. And they're going to put that all into place very quickly, because you absolutely are eligible for, depending if you're married, and it's the $2,400 plus $500 for children, dependents, each one of those, or $1,200 for those who are single. So you're eligible for that if you're, on disability, on Social Security, or if you're low income and pay no taxes, so you're not in the IRS system, if you will. So you will need to. So it's actually a good thing. I think that you will have that tool to be able to notify that I am eligible for this and I deserve, because again, you deserve this as part of the stimulus package. So great question. I'm glad we're able to answer things like this for people, because I know there's a lot of people out there like Renee. Let's go back to the phones, take more calls, more questions. And let me encourage you folks, we're able to do this because we have a huge team behind us supporting and doing the work all around the clock at the ACLJ. When many people, again, if they're working from home, if we're working with more skeleton staff, the ACLJ is fully operational right now. And I think by seeing this broadcast or hearing this broadcast, you know that absolutely is true. And you know, because we can point you to page numbers on specific parts of these provisions and answer these questions for you live, right on the fly, about this information. We need you to support the work of the ACLJ. I mean, this is a critical time for us. So if you're someone who is in a stable financial position, you've kept your job, you're not in these situations where you're worried about losing your job, and you can make your donation to the ACLJ, do it today and do it online at aclj.org. Double the impact your donation. It's a matching challenge month in March. That means whatever you donate is effectively doubled for the ACLJ. And if you can, make sure, if you donate regularly to the ACLJ, but you do it through the mail, we really encourage you to use aclj.org/donate right now, because we're getting those donations much quicker. It's more difficult because of the way that some of our offices are staffed and the rules of the stay-in-place orders and stay-at-home orders. It's harder for us to access some of those mail donations that have come through. So they're coming through at a slower pace. We're getting them, so don't worry about that. And we will be able to utilize those resources like they're disappearing. But if you can donate online, you're comfortable doing that. It's safe and secure. That's the best way to get the resources to us right now so that we continue operating at 100%. That's at aclj.org. I encourage you to donate right now, and you can double the impact of your donation. That means if you donate $50 right now, it is like $100 for the ACLJ, and that's for the entire month of March. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Gail in Florida on line three. People always have questions about this. How does it impact congressional expenses? Gail, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call, sir. I've heard things that say that the Congress also put in this bill money for them for expenses and things like that. Is that true?
Than?
Yes, it is. There's about $25 million in salary and expenses for the House and about $10 million for the Senate. Jordan, this is one of those two-edged swords. I think they probably should have refrained from doing that. It is true. They incurred more expenses during this, and those are probably dollar figures that are more or less accurate. I would have liked to have seen them refrain from that, but you have about $25 million for the House and about $10 million for the Senate.
And out of a $2 trillion package, when you're trying to help the American people during a crisis, it's not worth, again, because you had to have bipartisan support here to get this moving quick. So not everything is perfect, but they have incurred more expenses. I mean, some are having to travel back right now because of what Thomas Massie did. And so, Than, they're reporting that they do have a quorum right now. They've got a quorum in the House of Representatives. The Democrats are reporting that, which means if they have a quorum, they can do this by voice vote and get this done pretty soon today.
Yeah, this is actually pretty interesting, Jordan. If you're watching on either in one of the cable networks or on C-SPAN, I'm watching on C-SPAN, members are filing into the chamber, but they're doing it in an interesting fashion, Jordan. They have opened up the public galleries, and the members are actually going up there, staying spaced apart, as well as taking seats on the floor. The Democrat Majority Whip, James Clyburn, has said that he does have a quorum, so you're correct. They would be able to proceed. Jordan, they're still going to request a voice vote out of respect to those that they asked to stay away. And they will be able to do that as long as a majority of the members in the chamber do not request a recorded vote. So all of that to boil down to this, Jordan, I think this is going to pass very, very shortly, and I think it's going to pass by a voice vote.
So pass by a voice vote, gets to the president's desk. Likely the president signs it either this afternoon, tomorrow morning, gets this all kicked into gear. Because as we've explained, all of this is the legislation. You've got to then turn the legislation into action so that people can fill out the forms they need, apply for the loans that can become grants. I mean, all of that's important. So speed is very important here. And I will tell you, the only delay factor here was Nancy Pelosi and liberal Democrats who wanted to put the new Green Deal in, who wanted to put a loophole around the Hyde Amendment, which prevents your federal dollars from paying for abortion procedures, and bail out the abortion industry with a $1 billion slush fund. There was, of course, the provisions on corporate board diversity and carbon emissions requirements. All of that was what slowed this down. Pretty gross, pretty sickening. And I think that's why you see the president and conservative numbers approvals up. And, you know, where is Joe Biden right now? I mean, if you try to watch anything that he's doing, it's difficult to even get through. I mean, he's trying to criticize the president while they're having this. Even Nancy Pelosi tries to criticize, Mitch McConnell. But at the end of the day, she didn't get what she wanted. And the American people are getting what is best in a bipartisan way. It's not perfect, but it's bipartisan. We'll continue to take your phone calls. A lot of calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Lynn in Pennsylvania on line 5. Lynn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, hi. My husband and I are small business owners. We own a small residential construction company in Pennsylvania. Yep. And we were shut down about a week and a half ago. And at that same day, we told our employees that they should go ahead and file for unemployment. We only have 3 employees. And then we heard about the federal government wanting people to keep their employees on and offering the small business loans to cover payroll expenses as well as some other expenses. But since our employees have already started, I got an application from the Small Business Bureau to file for a loan. But are we even eligible since they already started the process? They haven't received anything yet, but
I think you would be. I mean, again, I'm answering your hypotheticals because you can apply because you can then rehire your employees and then you'll be eligible for forgiveness for the loan. So it won't just be like a normal small business loan. It'll actually return to a grant. So if you rehire those 3 employees and you use this, there's $349 billion available to small businesses in this package for rent, payroll, and utilities. The loan, if you rehire those 3 individuals, will become a grant. So you won't have to actually pay that back. So I hope that answers it for you. Again, you'll have to go through the process, but absolutely you can be eligible for this. They made this broadly eligible for people to get people back on payrolls. They want you to get people back on payrolls and to be eligible for these loans to turn into grants. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Continue with your phone calls, questions, and comments, and share the broadcast on Facebook and Periscope.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
All right, here we go. We're going to continue to answer your questions. I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. If you can make a donation, March is a great time to do it. And do it online at aclj.org/donate. We're working around the clock. We're working at 100% at the ACLJ to keep that going. Again, we appreciate it. It's a great time because your donation is actually doubled. So you're charged, you know, $50 tax deductible on your credit card donation. But it's actually, that's like $100 for us at the ACLJ. Also, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, share this final part of the broadcast. Click that share button now. Facebook and Periscope, let's bring people in because we're answering a lot of questions that will apply to hundreds of thousands of people who are in similar situations. Let's go to the phones. Robin in Ohio on line 4. Robin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi. First, I want to thank you so much for all that you do in supporting the Christians of this nation. I have a question, and that question is, my husband and I are both retired, and we receive Social Security and a pension, and we filed for, we pay taxes, and we filed taxes return every year, and we make less than 70. Will we still receive a check?
Quick and easy answer for Robin. Than is absolutely yes.
Yes, absolutely. As long as that taxable income that you mentioned is under $75,000 a person, or if you file jointly under $150,000, you would get the full amount.
So there you go. That was a quick and easy one. But I can see how people say, well, I've got this. But as long as you're below that amount, and again, for a married couple, again, you're talking about $150,000 a year, and then you'd be eligible for that $2,400 if you file jointly, or $1,200 separately if you file separately. Let's go back to the phones again. Mary in California on line 6. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call. My question is that I am on Social Security, and I have my Social Security direct deposited. However, I don't have withholding taken, so therefore I pay my taxes, you know, by check or online or whatever, each year. So I don't have any kind of account set up with the IRS as far as their direct deposit. Will they use my Social Security account, or do I have to set something up?
So, yeah, the answer is yes, but implementation regulations are going to be key here. So they should be able to use what you have set up through your Social Security account for the direct deposit to get this stimulus to you. But then this is where the regulations become important. We're not at that stage yet. I know they're going to work very fast at Treasury to do that and IRS to do that. But if you have already some kind of direct deposit set up with the federal government, Treasury Department, or in one of the divisions, it should be able to work out that way.
Yeah, the legislation specifically anticipated this situation, Jordan, and they are supposed to be able to recognize you through your Social Security account. But again, that is one of those, Jordan, that it's not just going to be a regulation that's got to come out of the Treasury Department. They are going to have to team up with the Social Security Administration to make sure that all of these people are identified. So, look, the answer under the legislation is yes. But, Jordan, this goes to a little bit larger point that I think is worth making here. This is why our job is not done here. We have to continue advocating with both Treasury and the Social Security Administration, the Small Business Administration, and others to make sure that the legislation actually is properly administrated. Jordan, they wouldn't intentionally miss this, but implementation can be difficult. So we're going to continue to engage and continue to advocate for proper implementation.
Absolutely. Let's go to Dave, because this is a good question on churches, and because churches are eligible for small business loans here. Dave from Ohio on line 1, you're on the air.
Long-time supporter and listener, really appreciate your work. My question is this. Rarely does the government ever hand out money without strings attached, and this is especially true for churches and Christian organizations. If and what are any strings attached to the churches and Christian organizations being eligible for this?
You know, so here's the thing, Than. The critical part of this is they'll be treated just like a business. No religious eligibility test will apply. And again, what it's about is about being able to pay salaries, rent, payroll, and mortgages. And they and other 501c3s, but churches as well, will be eligible for the small business loans. And again, every application will be different, but they'll be, again, treated like small businesses. And so this religious test will not apply.
That's right. Typically, the Small Business Administration uses what is called a religious eligibility worksheet that assures that people who get their loans are not principally engaged in teaching, instructing, counseling, or indoctrinating religion or religious beliefs. Jordan, that will not apply in this case. Only two criteria are going to apply for the applications. Number one, whether the borrower was operational on February 15th, and number two, whether the borrower was paying salaries and payroll taxes at that time, they would be able to qualify. Now, but again, Jordan, just like every other business that applies, the loan forgiveness and the additional criteria, a church will have to meet that same criteria. You can't get this loan and then use it for an unqualified expense right, and then expect it to be forgiven. You got to meet the same criteria a business does.
Right, which is to keep it, you got to use it for rent, payroll, utilities, and you got to keep people on staff, not furlough them. And then that loan will then turn into a grant that you will not have to repay. Final call of the day, Rebecca in New York on line two. Rebecca, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. I'm just wondering, since the payments come directly from the state as far as unemployment is concerned, will there, and this is being done in a federal level, will that money, namely the $600, will that be going, will that be coming directly from, or in, will we have to file federally some other way, or will that come automatically to the state?
So, that's a good question. So if you're already getting the unemployment and this additional $600 in unemployment on top of the $1,200 you could be receiving for an adult that's making less than $75,000 a year, this is coming on the federal side. Usually it's administered through the state. So will there be a form to apply for that fund, or will it just automatically occur?
Yeah, the short answer is we don't know the answer to that question yet, Jordan, but here's my prediction. I think it's going to vary state to state because, remember, there's two components of this. One is the expansion of the duration of eligibility. Jordan, I would expect that check will come through the state because that would be the easiest way to administer it. Again, I'm guessing here. I think the $600 in a lot of states, Jordan, is likely to come directly from the federal government because that's an apparatus that is being set up federally and totally separate from the state side. But again, I think this is going to vary state to state, Jordan, so I can't answer that conclusively, and I can't stress this point enough. You do need to make sure that you're consulting with a professional on this so that you don't miss it if there are sort of a tiered delivery mechanism.
Yeah, and what we're going to be doing throughout, I think especially next week, is now that we know, now, I mean, there's votes, there's now talk, breaking news now that Thomas Massie is going to require this voice, this actual vote. And Than, if he, just real quickly, if he calls for that, do they have to do it?
He calls for the vote and a majority in the chamber stay seated. By rising, Jordan, you're asking for a recorded vote. If a majority in the chamber stay seated and they have a quorum, they could likely still do a voice vote.
Okay, so they could likely still do the voice vote. So next week, what I think we'll be focusing on is how these are going to be implemented so we can even better answer your questions for you on this next stage of this, which is how it actually gets to you. Now that we know what can get to you, how will you get this kind of relief? And what's the best way about going about it? We'll know that through the rulemaking process that comes through and the implementation process that comes through the executive agencies. Primarily here, we're talking about the Treasury Department and the IRS. Support the work of the ACLJ. The reason why we've been live every day this week, the reason why we're working around the clock with all of this information and can answer your questions is because we're operating at 100% capacity. Support the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org and donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.